So, Michael, I see from your resume that you are a major in chemistry.
Yeah, so if there's any technical stuff that comes up, I'm your man.
This is a highly pressured situation, Michael. Lunateca is looking for a self-starter with great interpersonal skills. Do you think you're that person, Michael?
I know I'm that person, Millie.
Lunateca is bringing a new painkiller to the market within the next few days, and they're hoping to hire someone before the drug is released. Michael, you are farting.
I'm aware of that.
You do realize this isn't a job at a morning radio show. I'll take that as a no.
Listen, I have irritable bowel syndrome, okay? It's not a joke. In fact, it's protected by the Americans with Disabilities Act. So don't even think about trying to get rid of me for this.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Papa's Basement. I am your host, John Papa Giorgio. Right now I have one co-host, that would be the infamous, the dubious, the delicious, Shane Daffron.
Hello, hello.
We are waiting for the brother bear, Will, to get in the studio. You can listen to us every Saturday. We decide to show up 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.fcac.org/weber. Archives of the show found at inpapasbasement.com. And for those who some reason want to listen to radio on the TV, I think, what, they show, like, pictures of pet rescues?
Something like that.
Something like that. You can watch us on Cox 37, Comcast 27, and, as I like to call it, Poor Cox 10.
Poor Cox 10.
Poor Cox 10. If you get the wall jack alone, it's Channel 10. Will has stepped in the studio. Say hello.
Hey, I can't hear S through my headphones.
Your headphones are completely fried?
Let me see. I'm getting like, okay, there we go.
Is it good now?
Kind of.
We're all happy?
Good enough.
Well, it's not like we're all, you know, not within 3 feet of each other anyway.
Well, so. He couldn't hear delightful Jackson 5 piping through, playing Stand, one of my favorite songs ever.
It's a classic.
It's a good cover.
Maybe that's what I heard, I don't know.
Oh, really? Okay. I
heard some S.
Well,
Latin radio.
Okay, yeah. Before we start the show, before we get to the outline, what was with all the hot black chicks in the hallway?
I think they were doing like jazzercise or something. I think that's what I saw the
signs
for.
I pulled up and some statuesque girl was just...
Amazonian goddess, right?
Yeah, I was having a smoke outside. I'm like, okay, I'm cool with that. And then I get in and there's like two more really smoking chicks right out front of the studio. We don't pipe into the hallway, do we?
I was going to say, I think I heard you. I was walking in, like, at the desk where you have to sign.
I didn't say anything bad. I said good things. Everyone's good-looking, man.
Well, you know, it's after 3. Maybe they started their show at 3, and they're not out there listening to us and, you know, about to peek in the window and start glaring at us.
No, I am not getting any I hate you stares through the window. You guys couldn't see him, but...
No, you can't hear us out in, like, the main hallway. Like I said, I just heard it when, like, right where you walk in, where you sign in.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded like it was on a speaker.
Okay. I mean, as long as, like... couple girls aren't hearing about me wanting to put stones to them or something. I'm all good.
Well, we haven't gotten a spear chucked through the door.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, wow.
Why, Will? Thank you.
And it's 2 minutes into the show, we've already hit rock bottom.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for making things ugly.
Oh, Lord.
But the outline, first and foremost, I want to touch on the JFK format flip.
Now, for those who don't live in the D.C. area, because I know there's so many listeners out there, he's not talking about the death of the president from 45 years
ago. Exactly. We're not talking about John Fitzgerald. We are talking about WJFK, which was the venerable talk station that was easily talked for how long, boys?
20 years at least.
20. Man. 20 flat, I'd say, minimum.
As long as I can remember.
No clue.
Because Don and Mike, like, defected from WAVA, and I don't think JFK was talked before Don and Mike, really. I could be wrong. But we're talking easily 20 years of being the only quote-unquote guy talk in the market. I don't think there's an AM station that does it. Sure as hell ain't an FM station that does it. It broadcast with Stern when Stern was around. And really ever since Stern left, I think talk radio in general is kind of... it's been hurting. I mean,
hurting.
For the love of effing God, who did they replace Stern with? Do you know the answer to this?
I do.
In 9 out of 10 markets, there were two replacements. We had the junk still.
Opie and Anthony?
No.
Oh, you mean when they replaced him recently? Okay.
Nationally.
Stern left, and exactly, nationally, two acts.
DLR.
David Lee Roth was one of the two acts.
I'll fail.
And the other was the less failed. No, Adam Carolla, but his ass is off too. He's doing podcasts now, which is apparently what poor fired Oscar Santana is also doing.
Really?
They're doing what we're doing.
Because I heard him promote that. He was actually on Loveline recently. It's kind of cool to hear him and Dr. Drew.
Yeah, he did a full week. He bumped
well,
her
what
over
the
F little queen
to
is.
Stryker.
Stryker? Oh, is he the guy that replaced Carolla?
That's a comic book character. That's
he's
not
the
a DJ
dude
named.
On. You ever watch Charm School?
No.
Thricky Lake? Oh. He's on
he's
that.
On that.
Yeah, he's like one of the deans, quote unquote. So,
see, that's why LA radio is so sweet. You
but
get to
obviously
do bad
that was
TV gigs too.
Taped like months ago, so yeah, maybe he.
Well, I didn't think it was a permanent thing with Carolla. I thought it was like 1 week of hey. Remember,
no, it is. Yeah,
remember when we were good?
Yeah, but I mean, even so, it was still kind of cool.
Yeah, but it's been in the dumps for years. I mean, much as Stern is an egomaniac and thought he'd reinvent the wheel. Over on satellite, he didn't, but he sure as hell screwed it for terrestrial radio at the same time.
That is
to
true.
Some extent. I mean, his ratings weren't amazing like they once were, but he was still making more than the junks.
Oh, you got to.
We were talking about the other day, wasn't it $500 million over 5 years?
Yeah, oh yeah, about $100 million a year from Sirius with crazy stock options. I mean,
and a company
he was
that
already,
has no money.
And he was, Sirius is worth nothing.
And he was already loaded before he got that too, so it's not like he was hurt before.
He was in the process of getting divorced.
He got the divorce, but like half of a ton is still not bad. I mean, even post-lawyer's fees.
But when you're Zionist...
Well, what was it that Eddie Murphy said about that? He's like, if you got $500 million and your wife won $250 million, you ain't hurting.
No, but
I'm sorry, that wasn't Eddie Murphy. That was Chris Rock. Oh, man.
No, it was
Eddie Murphy.
It was in Raw. He was going on about half. I want half.
Oh, that's right. Chris Rock did it too, though.
He was talking about like $30,000.
Okay. We could say that for many of Chris's bits.
Orenthal, the bus driving murderer.
OJ wouldn't be OJ. He would be Orenthal, the bus driving murderer.
But, yeah, I mean, I think when you get to that level of wealth, you're so effing greedy. Like, you do.
You didn't
act
get
like
there
because
you're not greedy.
Yeah.
You didn't get money because you said F you to money. You said, give me that money. Yeah. You wanted money.
His whole bit was, you want me, I'm going to save your butt. I'm going to save this format and I'm going to make you destroy terrestrial radio.
Yeah, I will.
Give me $500 million.
I'll take it on my back.
Well, we got half of it.
My entire audience is going to follow me in. Watch this happen, and it did not.
Didn't he get, like, maybe, like, 15% of his audience or something
10.
Like that?
Yeah, I had heard between,
I think
like,
he
10
had
like and 20.
10 million people before, and, like, he barely cracked, like, a mil. Something like that.
I mean, it's still semi-influential, but, yeah, it ain't what it was.
No, I mean, he's all but disappeared.
I mean, Artie's
from the public.
Antics
yeah,
are
I was gonna say,
more
like
the, press than Stern.
The last time I heard Howard Stern was when Artie got the DUI arrest.
Yeah, the guy who employs this oaf. Howard Stern, you might remember him.
But
the other funny thing about his jump to satellite radio is he thought that people were going to pay pay-per-view for what used to be the free E-show.
Really? No, that
That's right.
Killed quick.
Stern On Demand. That was an on-demand
It's still
channel.
On. It's still on. It's still on Cox. If you go look at the on-demand stuff, there's still a Stern On Demand
he's
thing.
As dirty.
Jesus
he's as dirty as Gene Goddamn Simmons,
really?
Where it's like, let's just...
What do they have in common?
Where
it's got 6 points.
Stop that Jew.
Dr. House, how dare you? Yeah, a couple things in common, but that would be the big one. Curly hair and faith to a certain something.
But
to a certain book.
No, I didn't even know that. Dude, that's so... That's low rent, man.
Yeah, he really loved... you know, he's not selling Baba Booey coffins yet.
That's like people thinking that, oh, we're going to charge for Napster. No, you're not.
It would be like,
you're not going to be able to get money out of people when they're used to getting said service for free.
Yeah, and when it's not even that quality a product. Like, my friend JD, who quit working at my former employer, The Clearing House, and I love JD, but he quit... And then thought he was going to make money selling his comedy routines as CDs when he's not established brand or nothing.
Right.
Like, you're a stand-up comedian coming up. You can't give your crap away. You think you're selling your CDs?
Yeah.
I mean, people are stealing, like, Chris Rock CDs. They're, you know, illegally downloading Richard Pryor. You think JD is going to sell at all? It ain't.
Jesus, does he not have a job?
He's now, like, temping here and there and just pretty much working worse versions of what he used to work with no benefits.
God.
I mean, it was a horrible... Because he quits, last I checked, trying to bust into stand-up, especially in this asshole, involves a lot of driving around. You're talking gigs in, like, Centerville, Manassasippi. You got a lot in Arlington.
Manassasippi. I'd never heard Berlin. That one before.
Oh, Manassasippi?
That's a good
That's
one.
That's a good one.
Man's asses.
Yeah. He gets a DUI, his second Dewey, 2 weeks after he quits, because he's been partying pretty much the whole 2 weeks. Loses his damn license for a year. The whole plan. Down the toilet.
What a sad story.
I love him, but god damn. That is god damn. Yeah.
How does he get to work now? Is he allowed to drive for that?
Ah, maybe he has a bike with a nice little bell and basket. I don't know.
He doesn't even have, like, restricted.
He's probably got a restricted. I've noticed in this area, they're very easygoing about giving you restricted.
Yeah, you know why? Because you can't pay your fines if you can't get
to work. They can't screw you for more tickets.
Yeah. That and no, this they want their money. That's what it's really all about.
Well, yeah, if you can't get to work, you can't pay.
The bloody years of capitalism have to roll on.
Yep.
But JFK, I took it pretty hard when JFK went down. I didn't think it would faze me, but it did, because I got into doing this show. Christ, we're talking. We're about to hit the 2 year mark.
I was gonna say about 2 years, right?
About 2 years of Papa's Basement. So for about 8-10 months, I did this for the hell of it while working at just asshole 9-to-5 that's got nothing to do with nothing. I was a file boy. I made zero cash, and that was my life. And I quit, and I said, I am going to get into radio. And I didn't mean, like, disc jockeying, like Roche or something like that. I wanted to be Don Geronimo or Howard Stern. Take your pick. They're both stupidly wealthy with a show I thought was a great product. And right, maybe like 4 months after I finally get a paying radio gig, you start off as a board op. You're pressing buttons. You're the guy who's playing commercials, making sure that the feeds aren't going to dead air. You're kind of just, you know, Oz behind the curtain. You don't do anything with your voice, but you make sure the machines are running.
You're Rob A, but you don't get to talk on the radio.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So 4 months into that, I'm working at a business radio station that has since gone under. WDMV, sign of the times, radio station dying. And every day I'm listening to how the economy is tanking. I mean, everyone heard this on the news, but me, of all people, I'm at a business radio station. I'm having to listen to 6 goddamn hours of this a day. And at first I'm like, what do I care? I'm getting jobs left and right. I got a call from TOP. I got a call to board op at XM. You know, the board oping sky was the limit. But sure enough, man, everyone is cutting down on their talent. People are getting hired for zilch if they are getting hired locally. It's just kind of what I picked up on. And sure enough, we've lost Big O and Dukes. Big O and Dukes show went down with the JFK flip.
At least O.
Yeah, exactly. The Big O. Mike O'Mara, a DJ who was making a decent living, they scrubbed him right off the damn station. And they've been replaced with people who I guarantee you aren't charging them that much. They are not.
Suck.
The only reason the junkies are getting paid pretty well because they got into radio like 10 years ago, and they are called the sports junkies, for God's sake. Of course they're not going to dump that. That's going to be the flagship show.
Well, they were the junkies.
Yeah, they were kind of getting away from the sports thing because they were trying to do more pop culture stuff, and now they're back to we are the sports junkies. Yeah. We've always been the sports
Guarantee.
Junkies.
Well, have you noticed
the whip.
Going to break, it's they have to mention The Fan. You're listening to us on 106.7, The Fan.
Yeah, but I think they always kind of did that with JFK. They'd say JFK before, though.
Well, yeah, but they're...
supposed to, technically. You have to mention station ID once an hour, legally. Yeah.
But now they're just like, they're trying to drill into your head the fan.
Yeah, exactly. It's really.
New brand.
They're trying to brand you.
The fast. Fan. That might be the worst out of all of it. Just the name.
Just call it The Fag. That's what I feel like hearing, The Fan.
I'll tell you what the worst thing is about them being 106.7 The Fan. I think I was listening to their 6-10 show, the one that you and I were saying we
Blood
could.
Blood awful. That guy's
terrible
like,
guy. Yeah. Terrible guy. But he spent like. Probably 45 seconds going, now if you want to get to us on the radio, you got to go to 1067thefandc.com.
Yeah.
You have to add the DC because if you don't, you'll end up in Atlanta, which means there's another station in Atlanta that's 1067 and they call themselves The Fan and they beat them to get in
the
URL.
Original.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, The Fan thing was put onto every talk station that they decided to flip. Dallas has a fan. You were saying Boston has a fan as well?
I know that was the other one that was flipped simultaneously.
Yeah. Oh, so this is like the new Mike FM or whatever it was when they were like making
Jack.
Jack
well,
FM, there you
Jack
go.
Jack is one of the iPod profiles because right. That's the new thing in music radio. If an iPod was owned by this character, what songs would be on it? Well, you know what? That son of a bitch bought an iPod and he's not listening to your radio station.
Exactly.
okay, you, Will, you would have stations called like that. Okay, you'd have stations. Innovation came out about 3 years ago, I'd say, and they'd call them like Pete FM, and Pete's profile is Pete's into hip hop, old school and new school.
These are actual radio stations.
Yeah, yeah, this is actual radio stations.
Then you have Jack. Jack is into classic rock as well as some new rock. Thrown
These are
in.
Just made up things.
Yes, they're made up people who got radio station formats based around them.
Jesus H.
Yeah.
It's sad.
For 2 years, 94.7, remember when it said, the best of the old and the new. That was Jack FM.
I remember the Jack FM there.
That was Jack.
Who the F comes up with this three, S?
This jive S. No wonder this radio's
is,
in the gutter.
This is a bunch of stuffed shirts sitting in a room trying to decide how they can make their stock rise a quarter point so they can afford to go to the movies one more time a
like
year.
Like Bill Lumberg.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that is terrible. I'm gonna have to knew what that Jack FM meant.
Yeah, it was just a format. There was like five or
actually,
10 of them.
I thought Jack FM in this area was the 107.3, the mix.
No, that's Jack Diamond. He's a host.
Well, same difference, but I thought I remember Don and Mike doing a bit about that, where they're like, this is the new Jack FM. So like they put some of the songs in the radio, and they're like, how is this any different than what this station was playing before they started calling themselves Jack FM?
Yeah, I remember them saying
that. It's just branding. Yeah. Because radio can't offer that much variety. All they can do is try to convince you with a new brand.
Right, because people aren't going to listen to like music they're unfamiliar with. I mean, that's proven. People say they want to listen to new things, but really they don't.
Oh, yeah.
They want to hear the same S they've always heard.
So what happens is they got these 100-song playlists, and basically every once in a while the radio station's just kind of, hey, how about we just trade playlists? Oh, okay. And they
rotate five songs, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to hear Billy Joel for the 100th time driving home.
Never heard that one before.
I'm going to hear some, what is it, Moving Out. Or Moving Up, whatever the hell that is.
But when this was announced, man, you were heartbroken. You called me at work to announce this to me. Thank you very much. You called me at work to tell me about this.
It crushed me. You have no idea. I staked my future on radio. Like at 25, I kind of had this existential quarter life crisis, and I'm going, what the F am I going to do? I cannot do this office stuff. I don't want to go back to school. I'm good at talking. I ain't bad. And my bro's good, and I got good friends. Like Shane, delightful Shane over here.
Thank you.
I've got a core if I can make something happen. Especially I was thinking I could get Doofy Will over here. I thought we could be like the Don and Mike, the Dimebag Daryl and, you know, fat drummer brother.
Whatever his name is.
Fatso with the shaven beard. Vinnie Paul, there we go.
Shaven beard?
How did you actually forget his name? He's got like the tiger stripes, like shaven.
He has like Vanilla Ice did to his eyebrows, Vinnie Paul has done to his sideburns.
Oh, that's really special.
Yeah, douche Vinnie Paul and Dimebag. That's what I wanted to be. And it ain't happening. I don't know.
Not in this market anyway.
No,
probably not anywhere. I think it's just like the death of intellectualism. Like, people really just do not want to think.
I mean, I've been busting my ass. Like, I can't tell you how many letters and calls I've given to Chris Kinard, the PD over at JFK. I'm not trying to call him out or anything, but
yeah,
it's like,
that dude.
Do I have to toss a salad to get a damn interview over there? I mean, if that's what it takes, I got a bottle of Scope. I got no pride.
I mean, you were totally down for, like, just doing basically, like, the Mike E. Rockhead thing on Michael Mara Show or something.
I've written I don't know how many letters saying, dude, I will work for literally zilch. Just let me in the effing building. And the closest I've ever gotten to anything is I've seen, like, Bo Schembechler in the halls from, you know, Big O and Dukes.
Right.
And I'll see Colette all the time answering the phones. And Colette's always nice to me. She'll take my resume. She puts it in Chris Kinard's box, you know. So at least we go through the motions.
At least she pretends.
Yeah.
How nice.
I know with most things, I mean, it's hard to do, like, unsolicited stuff like that, you know?
It just, it's like, throw me a goddamn bone here, one of these stations. And I got an
Where else were you applying to?
I mean, like, anything abroad that was, like, remotely talk, I was sending resumes and discs to.
You've been sending them all over the lower 48, haven't you? Pretty much anywhere.
Pretty much. Anywhere that'll take me, man. Just put me on the goddamn air. I ain't asking for much. I mean, I'm not – okay, I didn't apply to, like, dirty markets. Like, you know, Detroit, Michigan wants its new DJ. I'm like, okay, I bet it does. And that is that.
See, that'd be cool. I'd be down for that.
What, Detroit?
You want to move to a city with, like, 28% unemployment? So
Shreveport. Like, I could do the South. I was applying up and down the South because, like, you know, I'd have to, like, dye my hair blonde or something so they didn't beat me for looking Jewy or, you know, part black or whatever the hell goes on down South. But – the temperature's nice. The women are all, you know, if David Lee Corn Roth fed. Album covers, yeah, or any indicator, they're all in cutoffs with checkered print tops with their tatas shut.
They're a lot cooler than the bees around here. I will give you that.
I think anything beats the broads around here.
That is true.
Especially for people like us who are trying to make a living in the arts, and I think every woman around here is really about your income. And other places, much, it's a little more about who you are.
They like to pretend like they like an artsy guy, but only if he's already got $150,000 a year coming in from his 9 to 5.
Exactly. I mean, not to sound weird, I want the fact that I don't beat women to count for something. Is that horrible of me?
It is kind of horrible, but unfortunately, you know, that's not even the top priority for a lot of women.
I want the fact that I will not give them herpes with their AIDS, you know, things like that. I won't bang their sisters often.
Often.
I just
good
want,
qualifier.
Yeah, I want the fact I'm not a human piece of S to count for something. I'm crazy and neurotic, but like in fun ways, not awful, awful ways.
Yeah, but you got to figure it's like the same way guys prize looks over pretty much anything. I guess chicks, at least in this area, is like money.
Yeah, but you can go with like a 7 who's got killer personality.
Yeah, but I think you and I are deeper than most people.
I'll agree with that. Much as I'm accused so very, very often of the opposite.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Who calls you shallow, man?
I'm pretty much like any chick. Because, you know.
I mean, you're pretty, like, you're kind of like shallow how, like, just dissecting women, like, viciously.
Well, yeah, you and I were talking about this the other day, man, where you were talking about how you're, how was it you were putting? We're like, you're really aloof and you don't, like, let them get in and know the real John. You know,
yeah,
you don't open up within and then they, you know, they're going to think you're shallow.
Hell no. I'm not throwing pearls to these strumpets. They don't deserve it. My family gets that. My cat gets that. My deep friends get that. These hoes. These petri dishes on legs? I'm not giving them much.
Can't fault you there.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you had the afternoon drive show on the old JFK...
I'd have my Frida and my Barty by now. I'd have a son and wife.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Would you have a 20-year-old daughter from your first marriage, too?
Yeah, why not?
I forgot about that.
Throw her in the mix. Amy.
Whatever her name was.
Amy. Why do I know all this?
No, I remember that.
Because you listen to that man just prattle on for hours at a time about nothing.
It's like losing an effing family member, really.
Oh, yeah.
I was all getting choked up when you hear, like, Dukes crying at the end of the
show. I almost lost it hearing Dukes cry because his struggle is my struggle. Hearing him talk about how dying radio is, sure, he's gone up a few levels past me, but his problems are the same as mine.
Yeah,
do you really think he liked... Do you think... Chad Dukes woke up and went, "Halla effin'luya, I'm getting paired up with LeVar Arrington."
He's playing second fiddle to LeVar.
To LeVar,
Arrington.
And I love LeVar somewhat, but the
has he ever like done any radio other than interviews?
He did some AM stuff
really?
For like 6 months or a year.
I really just thought
they plucked him. If you want what I'm guessing LeVar's intellect is, he played a role in Forrest Gump, and he was very into shrimp. If you know what I'm saying, I mean the damn dude. He's not curing polio.
No, but, I mean, sports radio, have you listened to, like, Fox Sports? It's retarded. It's a bunch of angry white guys yelling back and forth.
It's just crackers. it reminds me of Muhammad Ali, who said, "What is boxing? 50,000 white people around 2 black guys beating the crap out of each other."
Yeah, that's what it is, really. I mean, it's...
It's just a bunch of white
racist
dudes.
To a certain point, yeah. It's like...
I'll put it this way. You're never going to see one brother on a sports radio show who wasn't a former athlete. You got to leave it to the honkies to dissect it.
Right.
You got your James Browns and your Mike, whatever his name is, Mike Turio, and whoever that douche is, it's on Fox NFL Sunday.
Who's
now.
The one?
Wait,
who
the Brown? James Brown Jr., whatever his name is.
And who's the one on ESPN who has the magic eye?
Oh, yeah, I know.
He's got the one jacked eyeball that can, like, look.
Stuart something?
Stuart Scott, that can, like, look into your soul.
That guy's creepy,
like,
man.
Whenever there's a fortune teller in a Stephen King movie and she's got one jacked eye with, like, that white milk film over it, that's Stuart Scott.
He's staring right at you telling you the latest NBA scores.
He can see the plays in advance. 5 seconds before it happens, you'll see Stuart Scott go touchdown.
He's like, interception coming.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding. Oh, my God, an interception.
Dirty looking son of a bitch. Oh, that lame eye creeps the hell
out. Now, if you want to feel even worse about it, because I know that's what you called me in here to do, is to make you feel worse about it. Listen to the end of the Junks, I guess, on Friday. They had Mike Wise, the guy that comes after him, in there. They were talking
they've been synergizing every day.
They were talking about LeVar's new office there.
Oh, with the 60-inch plasma.
He has a 60-inch plasma, and they're like, did they pay for it? He's like, no, he had it in storage.
Yeah.
And they pulled it out, and they all new carpet and all new paint. He's got a leather couch and some big glass desk and... I don't know, man. What's he done? What has he done in radio? Actually, what's he done in football other than knock out Troy Aikman? Actually, okay, I got to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty big.
I got to give him that. He'll always have a special place in my heart for that one.
Yeah. I'd forgotten that. I'd been dogpiling
on his rookie year, too, man.
But he did take out Troy. But he was never that good as a skin. He never took us to the Super Bowl.
He wasn't that good as a Giant either in his 1 year there.
Yeah. I mean, countless players can brag to that they never took the Skins to the Super Bowl. But I don't know. I felt like reading my mom, who I may or may not live with still, she found an article with Mike O'Mara talking to the Post.
Oh.
And
this is the same one I saw?
Yeah, from like a week ago. I had it planned. I had a whole like goodbye to JFK show planned. I actually I was going to play this. You don't remember the game when Ryu wins Street Fighter 2 and walks away a champion?
I don't remember the epic
He walks
music.
Off to search for the next challenge.
Challenge, yeah. It's Chains got me.
I don't recognize the music. Sounds like the end of Mega Man or something.
It basically is the same thing.
I am going to read this with the Ryu music as my bet. this is Mike. He's mourning the loss of his show. He says, "We'd gotten into a rhythm, especially the last 2 or 3 months. It's the culture of corporate radio these days, reacting to everything in the economy. That's the frustrating thing. It sounds like an oversimplification, but I think I was a victim of the recession." And I'll agree wholeheartedly.
It's part that, and part, I mean, it's a business, you know, if you'll pause the music momentarily.
Well, no, I think it's adding a certain
it's all about the effing bottom line.
We've got another 30 seconds.
God, so. I'm trying to think of, like, another good example. All right, say you're in sales or something, right?
Yeah.
Say you show up to your job early every day. Not just on time, but early. You're all smiles and sunshine. You make coffee for your boss. Everyone loves you as a person.
Okay.
But you don't sell jack. Like, you have the worst sales record.
You'll stay on an extra 3 months, but you will get
fired.
Right,
you'll get fired, and you can go to your boss, like, say, "Yeah, I did all this, you know, I'm like the model employee." And in the end, they'll say, "Yeah, but
what have you done for me lately?
Money into the effing company." Yeah.
Go with
and that's the whole thing.
F you pay me.
Mike could have put on like the best radio show in the world, which he did not.
No.
But say like it was just the funniest effing thing for 4 hours. If for whatever reason it didn't get ratings and therefore didn't get quality sponsors are willing to pay a lot.
That's what happened at Owen Dukes, man.
That's it.
Like,
it's an effing business.
I think they were a victim of people, and not to jump away from Mike, I think what he's going for is a show with, like, upwardly trending ratings, but not the highest ratings to start out with. In less cutthroat times, he would have been given another 6 months, because he wouldn't shut the F up about them trending upward at least the past 2 months.
What do you mean?
Well, he obviously saw the writing on the wall. Like, "Hey, by the way, they're going up.
Yeah,
give me just a little bit longer. I'll bring you your ratings."
No, they were always joking about how they were on the effing chopping block. So, I mean, when they say like Michael Hughes and whatever was like honest with them,
Kynard.
Yeah, I guess that's the truth, because I mean, they would say, you know, like, "Hey,"
well, it wasn't like HFS DJs coming in on a Friday afternoon, finding sombreros all over the place. Yeah. Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, it's not like Airheads or whatever.
To this day, I remember I was doing a locksmith job. I literally walk in to this bank, do an hour of work, finish, walk out, and HFS, like, was on my dial, turn it back on, I hear, I'm like, what the hell happened here? It took me like 3 hours to piece it together, you know, with like Don and Mike making fun of it later in the day.
Really?
Oh, it was hilarious. They did such a good take on it. God bless them.
Well, I hope Mike enjoyed that.
Yeah. Laugh it up, buddy. But the article, it says one more thing I find pretty profound. Hold on. The demise of O'Mara's program, if not his radio career, might be another sign of radio's twilight. In the current economic climate, few stations are willing to take the risk of creating a live local radio program with a cast of more than one. Outside of a few handsomely paid stars, radio's gone on subsistence wages. Oh, God has it. Nowadays, the person behind the mic is broadcasting from a studio hundreds or even thousands of miles away from where the program is heard. And God damn if that ain't true. All right, knock
it off. It's like anything else. I mean,
it's the same thing with like TV shows, man. Like someone will come out with like an hour drama. It's like it's a great concept. Excuse me. And it's like we need a couple episodes to like get things really rolling. And then they don't have any ratings by the second show, so it's just gone.
It's S-canned, yeah.
Right. It'll be replaced by a reality show that costs nothing and starts a cast of people to do it for free.
Right. Because
it's going to be like thousands of other people.
Because they all want to launch their little Essie career.
Right.
As I was whore number six on Whoresylvania, the show.
Yeah, have some sex on Bang Brothers, you know?
Oh, God, did I tell you about that?
You did tell me about that.
The chick from Rock of Love.
The hot black chick from the latest
Rock. I'm not hot. She looks like a trainer. They even joked about that on the show.
I dug her a little bit.
Dude, she looks like RuPaul.
Okay, I'll give you that. But, I mean, I can, hey, I saw some footage of her that'll definitely affirm she's got girl parts.
Yeah, no.
I mean,
true,
she was getting decorated like a birthday cake. This was no...
I've been hotter chicks on Rock of Love did porn.
Yeah, but like afterward?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, that I'd be... Because this chick got voted off and like 2 days later filmed the brilliantly titled Cock of Love with the Bang Bros crew. And
you got to give it to the porn producers, man. They have some clever names.
Yeah.
How'd they come up with that one?
Exactly.
I don't know. That's brilliant, man.
And I mean, she had the kind of like littlish fake tatas where it's big enough, you know, they're fake, but it's not so big that you forgive their fake.
That's a pretty assy job, if you ask me.
I wasn't blown away. I mean, if you're going to ruin what God gave you,
yeah, get like
throw
huge like watermelons.
Throw some damn hoop balls in there, man. Give me something.
Speak for yourselves, guys. I like them natural person.
No, I'm saying I like natural.
Disgusting.
But if you're going to screw stuff.
Disgusting?
You know Will's philosophy.
Who have you been
subject.
Having sex with that you think boobs are disgusting?
No, Will.
No, I've had some pretty good natural ones, but still. I don't
Will
know.
Is huge into fakies.
I mean, you've
there
heard
is a
the
chick,
story of Paul Bunyan, right?
We have to show.
In the end, machine beats a man.
That's John Henry. Is it Bunyan, too?
No, it's Paul Bunyan.
It's the same thing.
It's
just one's black, one's white. It's the same story.
The racist version.
Is that the urban version?
I don't remember John Henry, but...
John Henry?
He was the guy who was like the
wood chopping machine beats him.
Yeah, well, the other one was John Henry. He like did the railroads.
You're kidding.
The guy had like the electronic steam pile driver thing.
Oh, yeah. Bunyan had Babe the Blue Ox, and John Henry had Skeet the Pit Bull. No.
I'm learning a lot about you two today. You're both highly racist against the African Americans.
What?
You know, who knew?
Why the
who
hell?
Knew?
Why are you spreading that BS? I have to walk. I have to exit the studio.
I'm pissed because some canceled on me this morning. I woke up earlier than I had to.
Oh, someone canceled on you?
an eggplant. So I'm
God
a little
damn.
Salty about that.
What is wrong with you people? I'm not racist at all. I don't know. Maybe Guillermo's going for that.
No,
angle.
I just hell. On.
Okay, okay. Qualifier. John is not racist.
Will isn't either.
I'm just kidding. Man. I'm just kidding. Will's not racist either. I'm sure.
We've all hung out with Rich. Come on now.
We all have a black friend. No.
One of my best friends is black. Yeah.
Isn't that the ultimate white cop outline? I have black friends.
Yeah. Of course, the people who say that never do.
Yeah,
I will say that about you. You have a lot. I really have none. So.
Yeah. What can I say, man? I just get along with them.
I've had a black roommate.
I have, too.
Yeah, but then we all want to kill them. So.
Oh, yeah, I've had a couple. You're right.
Really?
Yeah.
College, whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, me too. I
huge,
got along
fat
with that
dude
one.
Named Trey. And Trey used to just, like, tape up, like, newspapers to block out the light so it wouldn't interfere with his TV watching. And he had a huge hard-on for Buffy. And all he did 24/7 was watch Buffy reruns on VHS.
Jeez.
Ah, the memories of UVA.
On VHS.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I used to be too lazy to pee, so I'd just pee in a cup of soup and then, like, throw it down the toilet when I was bored.
Wow.
I used to do that, too. I can't remember why, though.
You know, this is what makes me wish I had actually gone away to college, because
yeah.
I can't speak to these sorts of things.
Well, no, I'd be, like, whacking it for, like, 3 hours, because that's all I ever did in college. Like, I never really got any tail in college, but I had T3 speed porn. And I'd whack it, like, you know, maybe like an hour into it, I'd have to whiz. And I'd be like, I don't want to walk down the hallway with a hard-on. So I'd just, like, pee into a cup of soup, and then I'd, you know, save it around and rub one out. And then
see, I was in an apartment, but I still did that. I'd just,
really?
Like, throw a bottle out the window or something.
Oh, I wish I could have done that. Spread the plague, man. That's some bubonic ass right there. But, yeah, I had to talk about JFK going under, man. That killed me. That was just such a dagger. And now it's like, what have I done with the past year and a half?
You know, I really want to give the news station a shot. I really do. But they're
bad.
They're failing left and right, man. Like I told you about, they're playing the I've heard a commercial on there twice in the last week where they're advertising the fastest bartender in town, and it happens on May 31st. What month is it? Yeah. I don't know. I think it's July. Yeah, they missed that.
That's a little lazy.
And they have it's like they're passing the same notes back and forth. Like I heard the guys in the morning and the guy in the evening both talking about Mike Vick. What are you doing at a strip club? Your first night out of prison.
Only so much happens in sports.
Right, we go dissect it for 6 hours in a row.
I mean, how many leagues do we have? First of all, people really—I don't know about you guys—they don't care about baseball anymore. They really don't give a goddamn about baseball.
The Nationals are terrible.
I don't care about any of it.
So. Yeah, you don't care about sports, period. But to those of us who aren't gay. You know, people don't care about baseball unless it's roids. Baseball is more something you go to once or twice a summer and you get hammered and you vomit into your peanut bag or whatever. And you don't care about it. Football is what everyone gives a good goddamn about. And we've got one football league. It can't generate that many damn stories.
Two coming soon. There's another one coming soon.
I know, the one that Vic might play in. What the hell is it called? United,
UFL.
UFL.
United
yeah.
Football League.
United Football League. And believe me, if they play on a different
XFL 2, in other words.
I hope it isn't.
It's going to be, man. They're doing the same thing. They're like, players get paid a set amount. That's just all. You don't get any. You get bonuses for winning. It's the same format.
Really?
It's XFL you know who hosts, all over again.
You know who did the XFL Gamecast, right?
Who?
Opie and Anthony.
Oh, wow.
Opie and effing Anthony. That was like their big break.
Forgot that. I never watched it.
I watched one, and it was so effing unwatchable. It was so dirty. It was like... watching...
Well, didn't they have, like, skanky-ass, like, stripper cheerleaders?
That was okay, but it was, like, just close enough to feel really... It was like, take your dad and throw a huge fake mustache on him and then put him in gay porn. And it's, like, not your dad, but it's close enough looking to your dad that you're still sick to your stomach watching it go down.
I remember watching that first game, man, and, like, it was... boring as all get out. It's like 3-6 or something. Meanwhile, they keep cutting over to this other game like, oh my God, this is a great game. It's 42-36 or something. Like, okay, now back to your game where it's still 6-3.
Was it even determined by local market? I thought it was like one goddamn game per weekend that was, like aired nationally or something.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. They had that worked out with NBC where it's like you get a game every week and it's this game and we pick it or something. I don't know.
It was so effing bad.
And it wasn't the Super Bowl. It was the big game at the end.
Just so bad. But yeah, it's like
that all over again.
Oh my God, man. It's just I'm having to come to terms with JFK, my plan for a couple years down the pooper, and radio's pretty much down the pooper. And currently I'm working like two bad radio jobs, one where my boss is just tearing into me like a pit bull.
Why?
At XM, he's this dude who's just big into mind games. Like I wrote on my schedule, I can do Monday and Wednesday as long as you give me any two shifts that'll, you know, like I can do two shifts in one day. Because can you blame me for not wanting to commute to DC for like $60 pre-tax?
Yeah,
understood.
Yeah, thank you. I don't care. He sends back an email. Please call me before 3 p.m. I find that hugely disrespectful. You won. Say what you gotta say in the mother effing email. Two, you call me. You got my damn number. What did he say?
I mean,
I didn't call him. Yeah. He can eat my ass. That was my reply. I was at work. I wasn't gonna call him. I'm not gonna fall into the mind games of, oh, John, well, since you've called me, let me tell you about how you're effing up lately. No, it's a boring ops job. It sucks ass. I push buttons. I update scores. The whole time I'm just trying to watch, like, Family Guy on the little TV that we have, or I'm playing Magic on my laptop, or IMing people, or looking at porn. No one looks at you. I mean, I won't wing one out or something, but I'll watch porn for an hour on end. Gives you something to speed home for.
Wow.
Take care of business.
Good Lord.
Ugh. God damn, I hate that job. And that's it. It's just, times is tight. Times is tight, son.
And so, you know, now you could go still work at JFK if you wanted to. You could do the Mike Wise show better than Mike Wise.
I think he needs – I mean, I put in my resume, like, no S three times in the past 2 weeks to Kynard, man. I'm waiting. I got a call to actually be the board op for Elliot 3 days a week, but for his Baltimore feed, meaning I wouldn't be in the studio with Elliot. I would just be the douche in the radio station at 5 in the morning when Elliot decides to go on.
Until 10 something.
Yeah, I told him to, you know, thanks but no thanks. I was like, look. Man,
beggars can't be choosers.
I ain't commuting to Baltimore for what's going to be about 12 an hour.
He'd be getting up at like 3 o'clock in the
morning.
Yeah.
I checked with a few people I know in Baltimore. I was like, hey, can I crash on your couch 3 nights a week? They told me to pound sand, and I would have done the same, and that was that.
Right.
But, yeah, man. It's not like I'm begging. I can start picking up the XM shifts, but then I'm commuting my ass into the ground. I'm grinding my car apart for $60, you know. Sometimes you'll get a rain out. You'll show up. You'll do 20, 30 minutes. They'll pay you $7 and tell you to get bent.
Why?
You only get paid hourly, 15 an hour.
Well, why will you show up and work for 30 minutes and then get told to get
Because you'll
get
show lost. Up to put it on air. It'll be a rain delay. They'll officially call the game. That's it.
Yeah.
That happened to me one time. I drove to D.C. for literally 17 in pay, pre-tax.
They had nothing else you could do to fill
no,
in the shift?
No, they told me to eat S. I was like, Anthony, can I put down anything else? Guy was like, no. Anthony's being my rather cool boss.
Of course.
Let his name out there. But he's not going through my radio shows. What the hell do I care? No one is.
Watch this be the one weekend. He's like, I'm going to check out John's show and see if maybe, you know, we could put him on the air.
Whatever. Hopefully he got scared off by all our filth. Our filth, floor, and filth from earlier. Well, next subject? Have we tapped out?
I think
we've
said
it's
our
just
piece.
Me, bitch. Yeah, I'm gonna start trying to do stand up, like literally start performing it at nights to get maybe paying gig. It's like $100 for a half hour if you can do it.
Do you have an act?
I've got tons of acts that I just abandoned and never really pursued. There's something about stand up I don't care for. I think it's because I'm really not a bar type guy.
And that's kind of the atmosphere you'd be living in if you did that.
I have to drive out at nights, and you're not getting paid immediately. This, for some reason, is fun, because I guess it's with you guys, and I've just always been so into radio that, like, getting to press buttons that say, like, dumb things. Here, listen to this.
Aren't they just the cutest little jigaboos?
There.
Wow.
I got that from Dead Like Me. I just watched that nonstop last week on Hulu. But dumb stuff like that. Here's another. Come on, say your line.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
There's something simple about dicking off with your buddies, playing stupid stuff like that, and talking about the things. Like, I would talk this way to a chick, like, if I thought they were smart and I was, like, trying to get in their britches or something. why waste it? I want to share it with you guys.
So instead of getting laid, you'd rather talk to us?
Not the biggest perk to me.
It's fun.
What, have you been getting some lately?
No, not that. I meant, like, doing this.
Oh, doing this. Yeah, I was going to
say.
Well,
that's fun, too. But yeah.
Like, tail's okay, but...
It's like anything else. You get burned out on it.
Yeah. I mean...
Okay. Do I have to be the lone dissenting voice here who still thinks that sex is a good thing? Granted, it's been a while, so, you know, it's not like... maybe it's fonder in, you know, the long view, but I don't know.
They're all pretty much the same.
I have to disagree with you on that. I admit, you know, maybe I've just been lucky or something. That's probably what it is. I've just been really lucky. My number is nowhere near either one of you guys, but still.
That would be unlucky.
If you say so, man.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe I've dated a bunch of skanks. That's why I'm like a damn misogynist now, you know?
Yeah, I've not really had a lot of great luck. Even with the ones that do seem respectable, it's kind of, you know. But
I'll tell you what, I'll take a skank over a psycho woman any day. And that's been my band.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do, but mine have been like, I don't know if you've got anywhere near the level of psycho
with
that
hearts
I do.
Of gold out there.
Yeah, that's definitely a movie myth. There is no hooker with a heart of gold. Okay, screw it. We've tapped this one out. We're going to jump to MJ.
MJ?
Yeah, it's been. Do you know how.
Has been beating a dead horse.
We have not. Well, we haven't done this damn show since MJ died. That's how
long
it's been.
Before it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was like 2 weeks of break. I'm like, ooh, we're gonna come back and discuss MJ.
Well, unfortunately, MJ's all tapped out, man. They're like the news reports on MJ are getting very meta now. I saw something on Daily Show the other day where they were reporting about how people wouldn't stop reporting on MJ.
It's pretty ridiculous. My big point was like. All these people were going on and on about, oh, we lost such a great artist. And these are the same people who have been calling him a child molester for the past 20 years. He's been the butt of their jokes for almost two decades.
And you know,
and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we love and miss
It's
Michael.
Whatever way the wind blows to sell a paper, but God damn, that is a little dirty, even I gotta say.
I know a girl who did a MySpace blog where she said like she had to leave work the day she heard that MJ died. She didn't just get choked up. She like fell to her knees and was crying to the heavens. How could you take MJ away from me?
Did she have her tickets for his shows in London?
Probably not.
Did she own any Michael Jackson CDs?
She owned every single CD he'd ever released. She learned how to
That's
dance.
Impressive.
She learned how to dance from watching the Thriller videos. covers and like emulating it over and over again.
Yeah, is this a black chick?
Yes and no.
Oh, so half.
No, you know the white girls who don't date white guys?
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Wannabe.
Black by injection.
She's got soul.
Gotcha.
Who is this? Anyone we know?
Nobody you know. And if you did know her, I wouldn't say her name.
Okay.
She'd kill me.
All right, fine. I mean, there's definitely a racial divide on the reactions, too, because black stations were blasting his music, like, for, you know, weeks on end, and I noticed a lot of, like, the only person choked up in the TOP studios was this dude who taught me, a good guy by the name of Thomas, and sure as hell, as I'm checking out, and I'm, like, really bummed out, and a lot of white reporters are cracking jokes about MJ dying, Thomas is, God bless him, wiping his eyes, trying to hide the fact that he's crying about it.
I ain't gonna lie, man. I was an MJ fan when I was a kid. The first album I ever had was Thriller. I had my little cassette tape that I played over and over and over and over and over again.
Will and I never got
real
music.
I never really gave an
ass about him. Well, we never got real music as kids. We were fed like Raffy, and Dad would play like Greek music in the garage. But it was never like, oh, we're gonna go out and buy Born in the USA.
Well, I had
somehow I knew all of MJ's stuff.
I had Thriller until my parents got me Bad, and then my aunt freaked out and was like, "Okay, I'm going to start buying you some good music because I don't want you to grow up listening to that." So she started getting She started giving me like Allman Brothers and
You're
Aerosmith.
You're
freaking
bigot of an aunt. Listen to Boogie music. Yeah, listen to that.
To that. That's pretty much what she said.
Oh my God.
That.
No, but it's a big. The white stations were dogpiling on him for years. He was a effing butt of jokes. Yeah. And then he kicks it, and he's still kind of the butt of jokes, but we're going to play Beat It on the hour.
Really not. I didn't really hear anyone talking negative except for O'Reilly.
I heard some people still telling jokes and
O'Reilly
stuff.
Was ripping on him?
No, I think he basically said, like, kind of what we're saying, except he was saying, like, people shouldn't be saying good about him. I'm just saying it's hypocritical. He was saying, like, oh, this guy's a child molester. He slept in beds with children. You know, he should rot in hell, and people shouldn't say good things about him.
I just love the children so much. I want to bring them into my bed and just share my
love with
the children.
I really don't give an S what he did. Honestly, I mean, if you're dumb enough to let your kids sleep with Michael Jackson.
Yeah, you don't understand. I didn't have a childhood. I just want
to
share my love
with the
children.
I'm sorry. When you give that much to the world, you also get leeway. Is it just me who believes that? Like, I'm not even saying this as a joke. If it meant another Thriller, put a KinderCare in the backyard of Neverland Ranch. I will do the zoning myself.
How many kids was he...
Walk it off. Let him touch you and walk it off.
How many kids did he supposedly sleep with, and how many kids came after Corey Feldman and after Macaulay Culkin and after all the stories about how he supposedly molested all these other kids? How many times were parents like, I'll let my kids sleep in the bed with
Neverland? Like back in 2005, was asking for it. And I mean, she wanted him to do something because she was trying to like extort money from like Jay Leno.
She's probably sending him over in like crotchless Batman underwear and stuff.
No,
and not only that, it's like, why, if he's into touching kids, is he kind of slumming and touching these non-famous ones when he could have been fingering like Corey Feldman's butthole when Goonies was out and like Home Alone just came out? He could have been getting him some Culkin. I mean, I'm sure even kid touchers are just like straight dudes where, you know, hey, Will, I'm going to give you this chick who looks just like Rosario Dawson, or you can actually bang Rosario Dawson. You'll go with the one who's actually famous. You get a story out of that. You crush some famous buns. Same thing with him. All little kids look the same. He would have even blown like Stand By Me, the little fat one, Jerry O'Connell. You know, he's getting famous ass. Whatever. I don't get it. He's slumming.
With cancer patients.
Yeah, exactly. You're telling me this cancer patient can get down? Kid can barely breathe.
The news story I heard now
is a real doll.
Now they're going to pick up Neverland Ranch piece by piece and rebuild it outside of L.A. Or not L.A., excuse me, Vegas. Right outside of Vegas, exactly the way it is now. They're going to take all of Michael's possessions.
That is retarded.
Move them all. They're going to move the zoo. They're going to move the house. And then they're going to sell the land that was on Neverland.
Let his ass rest in peace.
Goddamn meal ticket for
you know
that
they,
whole
they cut
family.
Up his brain. They have like half his brain in one place and the other half somewhere else. And they're still trying to determine like if he was murdered.
Oh,
I know they're going to try to charge the doctor.
Well, it's ruled a homicide.
Wasn't his dermatologist being accused of giving him Oxycontin or something stupid
his
like
dermatologist
that?
Would
his,
do,
like
acne
doctor.
Operations and give him the strongest, like, I'm going to excoriate your bowel medication. Like, the stuff you'd go under for a heart transplant, he'd be like, I have a zit, and they'd knock him out with that.
But in true to South Park fashion, they're only going after the black doctor. Like, all the white doctors are scanning.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the one black doctor is the one that's getting charged.
It's like...
It's true. They're trying to charge him with manslaughter. That's like all TMZ has been since he died.
It's literally the same effing picture of Michael and the same picture of the doctor.
Of Conrad Murray.
Yeah, exactly. Pick your. Sometimes he's on the left and Michael's on the right. And once in a while, you'll get a still from, like, him standing on stage next to that blonde Greek guitarist, you know, from the 5 seconds we have.
You mean to say they don't show, like, that five-second clip of him waving his kid off the balcony or anything?
No. I mean, it's the clip of him practicing for the tour.
They don't care about us.
Yeah, they don't care about us. Bitchin' song, by the way. God.
What album is that from? I don't even know.
History.
That was on his best of.
Yeah, I didn't know History was... Like
that's
two
the
discs.
Album where he talks about like kicking Jews or something.
That's the song.
Oh really?
Yeah. Kick me, kike me, don't you black or white me? Sue me, Jew me. And they bleep it out. And Spike Lee very correctly points out he drops the N bomb in a couple places, and they sure as hell don't care to bleep that.
Oh god.
Yeah. Sue me, Jew me.
And that's like in the clip that they keep showing, or no?
It was on like the early versions of it. Then someone complained, but they couldn't recall them, so they pulled them back and started releasing them with the bleeped out parts.
Was that ever like a single that actually made it to the radio?
Yes,
yeah,
really,
yeah. And
I
like
thought
a
by that point,
state.
I thought he re-recorded some new lyrics for it.
I know.
When the F did History come out? Like 95?
95. You were a winner, yep, winner, chicken dinner.
Right. Huh. Yeah,
Jesus,
working at Best Buy at
forever,
the time, that was a big seller.
Really?
Yeah.
And even then, it was only like 1 million. I mean, compared to like 30 million, it's not a lot, but compared
I don't
think to most
one,
albums.
But
it sold a lot of those albums.
Yeah, I thought it was like 11 or something.
I don't know. I remember seeing like a chart.
I think it was maybe 10, but on double albums, it's counted as you sold two units.
CD.
Yeah. That's why Biggie and Tupac have like amazing selling albums because their final ones were two albums a pop.
And what's I think like the biggest selling CD of all time is the Eagles' Greatest Hits. Or one of them. It's because it's a double CD.
I bet Thriller got past Thriller. It on the back of this, but it was Eagles. I believe you're right. And I'm sure it was the same damn deal.
Yeah, no, I know.
Where it was a two-disc affair.
Who the hell cares that much about the Eagles?
I sure as hell don't. But, I mean, I love them. I mean, Eagles.
Yeah, they got some good stuff.
I learned a lot of Eagles songs when I was taking guitar lessons, man.
Take it
like
easy.
The same basic chords
I like, yeah,
over
the
over again.
Older songs are better.
Yeah, Take It Easy is the shiz and a half.
Yeah, like the stuff that sounds almost like country-ish is kind of cool. But even stuff like...
you gotta learn Hotel California if you're playing the guitar.
Yeah.
If that's played in the ground. What's that? Damn it. I Can't Tell You Why or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah, that's a good song. But
I can't tell you why. Well, I saw Squire at the door. And we said our piece pretty much an hour-long bitching about JFK going under. God bless it.
Two eulogies today, JFK and Michael Jackson.
Yeah, you know.
Well done.
God bless them both.
Went under at the same time.
Yeah.
And Olympus Gym.
Oh, that was topic three. We just didn't get to it. But one of these
days.
Did
you ever go there or no?
Not since they were at the last place, man. I haven't been to the new spot where they just went out of business.
Speaking of like flipping formats, I showed up there one day. Empty parking lot other than people from Gold's.
Here's directions. Here's how you get there.
Exactly.
Do you want to start going out with this as our bed, the butt rape music? You want to do this? I'll have to cut a CD so that we can like bed this and then go immediately to the outro MP3. But I can play it as a just a bare MP3 right now.
Should I know what this is?
It's Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay. I can't really hear it. These headphones are terrible.
Well, it's pretty low. But.
You've been listening to Papa's Basement. You can hear us every Saturday we show up, Saturday at 3 to 4 p.m. I was your host, John Papagiorgio. We had Guillermo Papagiorgio.
Yo.
Shane Daffron, delicious Shane Daffron.
Hey, bye-bye.
The sweet delight, whose butthole's too tight. What?
What?
Trying to pimp you out to the gay fans there. Trying to get a whole new demographic. But, archives at impapasbasement.com. You can get us on cable, God knows why. Cox 37, Comcast 27, Poor Cox 10. Poor Cox 10. And the feed, www.scac.org/WEBR. We are out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.